to Agronomy for Farmer Success, a podcast brought to you by Osmus Farm Supply.
Hello, this is Bill Scherer with Osmus Farm Supply, AFSC. Today I am with
Trevor Anderson. I am the AFSC agronomist over in the Estherville location.
Trevor and I have both done some podcasts at this point, but today we're going to talk a little bit more in detail about what AFS Seed is and what role we have in the Osmus Farm Supply organization. Trevor's here with me today. We're going to fill you in on a little bit about AFS Seed and talk in more detail. So, Trevor, can you tell me a little bit about your role with AFS?
Yeah, so I'm over in the Estherville location, and I sell seed out of that location, and I also run the treater for the Estherville, Fulda, and Okabena location, so I kind of manage that. Those guys come and help, and we get their stuff done in a few days. And then I also do a lot of the shipping coordination and inventory management, I guess, for lack of a better term, for all the other locations. All the corn comes in to Estherville, and I send it out as needed. And a lot of the beans come to Estherville, and they get sent out to the other locations as needed. I handle that.
Sure. Okay. A lot of people listening today may not be familiar with all the brands of seed that AFS Seed carries, so the different companies we work with. Could you go into a little bit of detail about the companies and what you think each one brings to the table for AFS Seed?
Yeah, so just kind of going one by one, AgriGold is our longest tenured company that we've had. We've had that since I started here in 2010. They bring us some different genetics from our other companies. That's kind of a common thing in our seed or our corn portfolio, where we can get genetics from different places. They can get some stuff from the Bayer line of genetics, and then also their own proprietary things from AgriLion. And then on the bean side, they bring us dicamba beans to this point, extend flex beans, and now starting next year, we're going to start seeing some E3s. So they bring some diversity in both the corn and bean platforms.
They do. Yeah, absolutely. So we've got AgriGold, we've got Midwest, we have Stein, we have Brevant, and I think you and I have worked hand in hand in aligning with different seed partners through the AFS Seed brand, right?
Mm-hmm.
Big part, I think, of what we were looking for is genetic diversity and options for our growers, right? Mm-hmm. Bringing things to the table that we're not just trying to copycat other people, but having good, solid options for people to choose from. A little bit of genetic diversity. We just came from a Midwest plot day. Yeah, elaborate a little bit about Midwest. I think it's an interesting company that shows what we're looking for genetic diversity. Like, you can talk a little bit about the Thurston line of hybrids that they offer, the Bayer side of things. Maybe talk a little bit about that for people.
Yeah, so I think Midwest kind of, as their own seed company, they kind of have the same strategy we do. So I think in their plot today, they said there were seven different germplasm sources in that plot in their bags. I think they're the only company that isn't tied to certain contracts to get certain amount of units from certain suppliers. So they can kind of do whatever they'd like. They give us that flexibility. You mentioned Thurston's, 0499, we sell quite a bit of better grade hybrid, but that comes from Thurston's. It's something you can't just go find in a lot of other bags.
Right.
And we're going to continue to have those options. You know, you're going to get Bayer, Syngenta.
Yep. Corteva. With Brevant.
Yeah.
They have a lot of promise.
Yeah, so then Brevant, they're obviously on the Corteva side, and we have that genetic lineup kind of at our disposal. So I just think it makes a really well-rounded portfolio, both in corn and soybeans.
Absolutely, yeah. So that's the product side of AFSC. What we're trying to deliver is bringing a diverse option of choices for our growers, right? And then on the other side, I think it's important to tell our growers what we're trying to accomplish there. I mean, we're trying to make things simple, right? Mm-hmm. Straightforward. We don't have a lot of gimmicks or requirements for people. Kind of come in and get a price, and we go from there. There isn't a lot of, you need to buy 36 bags to get one free or something like that. I think that's important to you. You have a lot of input on that. Maybe you can elaborate there as well.
Well, I think you pretty much hit it. You know, we want to be simple and easy to deal with. And I think the seed game is changing a little bit slowly to where those gimmicks aren't really put up with as much anymore by growers. Right. They just kind of want upfront pricing, products, whatever service they require, and they want it to be simple. They don't want a bunch of back end dollars and things like that. So we really try and partner with companies that allow us to operate that way.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess in a nutshell, simple, easy to deal with, diverse choices.
Yeah, I think those are kind of the
three main things.
Three main keys.
Yeah, I agree. As we move past the planting season and into the remainder of the growing season, could you tell our listeners a little bit about what we saw this year so far? Maybe it's been a challenging spring, obviously. What types of things do you take away from what you're seeing in the fields and what we've had to deal with?
Yeah, so I'm just pretty much going to speak strictly for Esterville. You know, for as easy as this planting season was, it's been a little bit of a challenge since. You know, the dry conditions caused some emergence issues in places. In our area, I don't know that we were able to do a great job of conventional tillage. The trash just kind of floated instead of buried. So we had some emergence issues that I would say 80% of the emergence issues in my area were due to residue, whether it was sucking moisture away from the kernel or, you know, your typical residue issues with corn emergence. And then the beans got put into dry soil. They were coming up uneven. Then obviously the freeze that we got on the no-till acres, it was pretty tough on them. Some replants out there. Nothing with conventional tillage that I know of got replanted. But the no-till stuff was replanted or looked awful tough there for a couple weeks.
Yeah, that little bit of residue seemed to make a big difference in some cases. And managing the moisture, I know I did a podcast early on with Todd Clausen, and we discussed, you know, tips for planting was one of the topics that we got on. And this year, a little bit of difference in planting depth or planting settings made a big, big difference. Corn on corn in this area has seemed to struggle a little bit more. Again, some of that could be tied to residue or the moisture in the seed bed. Lots of variations in moisture as you go across the field as well, too. We went into planting season, much of southern Minnesota, northern Iowa had drier soils than they've seen in years. We talked about this a little bit, but how has this affected the crops? In your mind, we've seen uneven emergence. Like you said, we didn't have a lot of replanting. But going forward, what does that do to some of this corn and soybeans that we were seeing out in the field? I know some ugly things are starting to pop up here and there.
Yeah. So, again, kind of over in the Emmett County, Esterville area, we had some rolling before this week, but not, you know, all day. This week it's really starting to come to all day rolling, and we have what I think is a pretty good looking corn crop over there, and I don't think we've lost a lot to this point as far as our total yield potential. The issue is to get there, we're going to need so much for timely rains. We need so much rain because we just don't have any. It's not a matter of the roots going to find it because there's really nothing there to find.
Yeah.
So we need it to come and come off in decent amounts. Obviously, we don't want 6 or 8 inches, you know, overnight. But that's what I see going forward. I try to be optimistic on it and give hope, and if the weather patterns change and it starts raining, we could have a really, really good corn crop. Beans, I'm not sure on. I think the beans are taking a beating right now. They've seemed to kind of sit still here for the last 10 days or so, and you know, time will tell on those. I don't really have much of a base of experience to talk about the beans.
Well, they always say every year is different, and this year is different than any year I can remember.
Yeah, I said, for as easy as it was, it sure has been difficult.
Well, you know, so we need rain. That's a given. And there isn't much we can do to go back and change little things that may have made a difference when we were planning. But don't know, going forward, are the things you think about that maybe you guys should be looking at? Nitrogen applications, maybe stay the same or a little less. What about like foliar fungicides? Do you think that brings some benefit to the table for drought resistance or helping keep stress off of some of these plants?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we've got a few weeks here before we're going to be looking at fungicides, and a lot can happen in a few weeks. We might get a couple weeks of a cooler, wetter weather, and the corn crop will turn around, and I think it's going to be all systems go on fungicides. Now, I think for those decisions, it's just too early to really say this is what probably will work. Or we just don't know. You know, like I said, we get a wet week or two, and things will change. But right now, I think it's pretty hard to make those determinations. Same thing for, you know, maybe Y drop applications, nitrogen.
Sure. You know, you did a little introduction into AFS seed earlier in a different podcast. Maybe we can go back and just talk a little bit about like our plots and how you handle plots for AFS and what you've got going right now.
So in Estherville, we have a large scale plot, which is pretty much every relevant hybrid and variety from every company we carry. So my corn plot this year is 40 varieties. Beans are 20. Usually it'll run anywhere from 40 to 50 and 20 to 25. This year it's 40 and 20. And then the other locations kind of have a replicated plot set. You know, they might add or some, usually just add things maybe they want to see that every other location maybe doesn't. I give them some freedom to do that. But we try and get at least a couple varieties from each company that are the same so that we can kind of develop a plot set that shows any sort of consistencies or inconsistencies. And we get to look at a lot of these hybrids or varieties in different environments. You know, it's, you know, from Okabena and Fold over to Rake, you can have vast differences in rainfall, temperatures, whatever. So the Estherville plot serves more as a tool to learn from ourselves. You know, we can see firsthand through a growing season what different products do, and that's really helpful, especially with brand new things that we aren't familiar with. We can kind of watch and see.
Well, and I know from my experience, I'll tell you a little bit here during the podcast, I mean, Trevor's very good about going out and looking at the plot and ground truthing what he thinks is the actual ratings. I mean, there's ratings and catalogs that you're given from seed companies, and sometimes in real life, it's a little different. Or one company may rate things a little bit differently than another does. And when you have all the products side by side, I know that's been, you've been able to hone in and say, yeah, I know this is probably the best emerging hybrid that I've seen this year out of, you know, 20 or 30 that you look at.
It can be difficult sometimes when you're carrying multiple brands. I mean, their stuff is only graded amongst its genetic background.
Right.
So Brevant's only against its Corteva background. And those backgrounds are going to have different strengths and weaknesses. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean that they're poor on something or something like that as a whole, but, you know, I want to see if maybe Agrigold's best emerging corn versus Brevant's best emerging corn, you know, which one's better, and then you kind of get a feel for how they rate.
Right. Is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know about AFSC?
We've kind of covered the majority of things that I think are important, you know, with you know, the simplicity that we try and operate with, the diversity that we like to carry in our portfolio. That's kind of the main message I'd kind of want to get out there.
Well, I'd like to just say, too, I feel like, you know, some of our genetics aren't names that are as visible to people, but we feel like our performance is top tier. It's as good as anything on the market. I think there should be a comfort level there with what we're bringing to the table for products and how they're going to perform, and we bring them at a really fair price to people. Well, that's kind of AFS seed in a nutshell, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you let us put a package together versus anybody else, I'm pretty darn comfortable.
Yes. End the podcast by saying if you have any interest in anything that we've talked about here during the podcast, or you'd like to know a little bit more about our AFS seed brands or products that we carry, feel free to contact us at Estherville with Trevor or Okabena with Eric. Perfolda with our other Eric, or anybody with AFSC, we'd be happy to help you. Thanks again and for listening, and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Agronomy for Farmer Success. If you'd like any additional information, please contact your trusted Osmus Farm Supply agronomist. Please make sure to subscribe to Agronomy for Farmer Success on your podcast player of choice, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and more, to be notified when new episodes become available.